choir and our orchestra and Miss Miriam over here, and also our praise band. They always do a great job leading us in worship. I just want to recognize Ted this morning. Ted just has a heart for Sunday school. He's been calling his relatives, friends. I went home the other night and Delaine said a lady has called me from a Sunday school class, and she said she's having trouble contacting two people. She said, let me give you the name. Do you recognize them? I said, darling, I did their funerals about 5 years ago. They're dead. They're in heaven. So he's just turned up every little leaf and every nook and cranny to build Sunday school. Let's give Ted a round of applause, okay? He has a tough job here. Well, today I want to begin a series, three-part series on family and marriage. And you better make sure your marriage is good before you preach on family and marriage. And I found out mine was pretty good the other day. Delaney and I took 2 days vacation to go see my sister. Her divorce after a year and a half is final. She needed somebody to come and help clean out her husband's things in her house. And we're like a white tornado. And I'm fairly pragmatic, so we said, we'll spend 2 days with you, and we'll get this thing started. So we went over there on the third day. We decided to go to Johnston, South Carolina, which is one of the peach capitals of the world. And right now, the July Prince that's, about that big around, Freestone, is one of the best peaches in the world. We hadn't been to the peach orchards in over 30 years. We got on I-20, got off on Interstate, off on Highway 25. We're heading to Johnston. And all of a sudden, I'm going down the highway. I look, I'm going 61 in a 55. I said, I better slow down. So Delaine's sitting here and my sister sitting on the passenger side in the back. Anna Marie's back there. And so there's one of these big King Cab smoky diesel trucks in front of me. And that makes Delaine's asthma act up. So I said, you know, I better pass that vehicle. And so when I did, I looked in my rearview mirror and there was an SUV. Well, I just figured it was a lady in an SUV. And so then I looked closer and I couldn't tell if it was the state or the Edgefield County Police. And well, to pass this guy, I had to go 65. So I said, well, I better slow down. And I'm in the passing lane. I better get behind him, get back in the slow lane. And so that's what I did. I slowed down and I pulled in, gave a signal. Pulled in behind this smoky diesel truck, and boom, blue lights came on. So the shoulder of the road was paved with that ribbed pavement. You know what I'm talking about? It's about 8 feet deep. I not only pulled over there, I pulled over in the bahia grass. And so Delaine says, what in the world is that police officer doing? You are an excellent driver. You're not speeding. You haven't done anything wrong. And she's really keyed up. And my sister said, I'd shut up the smack if I were you. Because he's on the way to the car. Well, I was waiting on him to come to my left window. And so I kept looking out my left window. My sister said, Phil, they don't go to the left window anymore. They're standing outside Delaney's window on the passenger side. He's about 25 years old, about 6 feet tall. He's standing there with his gun and all. And Delaney rolls down the window and flashes that friendly smile that only she did. How are you today, officer? And he said, sir, did you know that you ran off the road back there? I said, no. He thought he had a drunk driver. But what he had was a shuttle to the local assisted living between the three of us. And so he said, and I'm going to tell you something else. He said, that was an improper lane change that you just did a few minutes ago behind that big truck. Well, I didn't agree with him. I said, okay. I didn't argue with him. And so he said, I need your license, your registration, and your insurance card. I said, well, officer, I said, I don't ever throw away my insurance card, so there's probably 10 years worth of them in there. He said, just give me one of them. My sister rolls down the window in the back and says, officer, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I notice you have canine embroidered on your shirt. You have a dog. He says, back there in the SUV. She said, I hope it's not one of them crazy dogs. I hope it's a German Shepherd. He said, it's a German Shepherd. She said, oh, I have a dog too. His name is Linus. I just love him so much. And so he smiles and he said, that dog back there is my buddy. And so I'm going, I'm not believing this. So they're doing dog talk. And so the police officer took all my information. He went back and he stayed in his car a long time. And so we're sitting there burning up. You know, you're supposed to leave your car off. I said, I don't care what he says. We're turning the air conditioner back on in this car. A few minutes he comes around. And of course, Elaine, she's smiling over there on the passenger side. And he says, well, here's your information. He said, sir, he said, I'm going to give you a warning for reckless driving and running off the road. I disagree with both of those. But I said, okay. And he said, I'm not going to get you to sign this. I'm not turning it into the county, nor am I sending it to the state. I said, well, thank you, sir, so much. And my sister says, I'm so glad you love your dog. I love my dog. And so he's laughing at us. And we said, you have a good day. He said, y'all have a good day, too. Delane rolls up the window. And he gets in his SUV. And Delane says, Phil is an excellent driver. She's telling my sister that. She said, or I've just gotten used to the way he drives. I don't know which one it is. So I knew my marriage was good when the cops were trying to carry me in for DUI. So today I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. And that has nothing to do with anything. So, and you like that best. I want to talk to you about the forks in the road in Exodus 20, verse 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before you. When we talk about family values, that's in style right now. But as soon as you start defining what family values are, that's when it becomes divisive and you're starting to classify people. We talk about family values, that is what I call a fork in the road. You can either follow what is written in the Word of God. God created a man and a woman, and he brought them together in marriage, and the two shall become one flesh. That's our compass. That's the true north. That's from the true and living God who made us. Or you can follow the politically correct confusion among so many people. And there you're going to pay a price because that is morally wrong according to Scripture. We talk about going back to traditional values. What do we mean? Do we go back to Father Knows Best? Or to Ozzie and Harriet? Or to Roseanne? No, when you talk about traditional family values, we're going all the way back to Moses and the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are the basis of our judicial system in our country. And the values of the Ten Commandments are the values that were passed down by our forefathers here in America. The reason the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, is because God wants to be first. And there is no other God. They're all spelled with a small g, not a capital G. So the foundation for all family values is to put God first in your life. Now, why did God give the Ten Commandments? For his benefit or ours? He gave the Ten Commandments for our benefit. When you're raising your children, you'll tell them when they get tall enough, do not touch the burners on the stove. Do you do that for their benefit or your benefit? You do it for their benefit. We're saying this right here, thou shall not. God is saying, don't hurt yourself. All the Ten Commandments are based on the foundation of the first commandment. The foundations of the family in our nation are crumbling quicker than we can restore them. We have strayed away from the values upon which our nation was built. We don't live in the same country that we did 25 years ago because people have ignored the commandments of God. So I want to share with you today how to make sure your family has a solid foundation, so you'll have a Bible-based, Christ-centered home. First of all, the foundation. In Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. There's a principle there, and there's a promise. What is the principle? It's simple. Put God first in everything. Anything that dominates your life is a god. Your work can be your god. Your pride can be your god. Your hobbies and your special interests, your sports can be your god. Pleasure can be your god. Pride can be your god. These are many of the values that people are putting in the place of God. There can be many good things in your life that become God because they become more dominant in your life than God is in your life. So the foundation, he says, is to put God first in your life. Now, what is the promise? We see the commandment there, the principle. Put God first, then the promise. Write down Proverbs 3:6. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. The greatest success manual for your marriage, for parenting, for your family, for children, for your business and recreation is the Word of God. You can never go wrong. He says that if you'll follow my principles, I will give you success according to God's standards in your life. A builder has been building new houses in our neighborhood for about the last 2.5 years. Now, some of the lots are absolutely horrible. They're off a cliff. They got a bad slope. They're a place where all the water drains. So here's what he does. He has truckload after truckload of dirt and clay brought in, and they pack it down thoroughly, and they come in and they build a solid foundation. That's the most important part of your house. You can put in the top of the line appliances, the most expensive windows. You can have number one oak flooring all throughout your house. You can spend all the money you want, but listen, if you don't have a solid foundation, that house will not stand. If you put these principles into practice, I promise you that God will honor his word, and I promise you that he will bless you with success. God will bless your family because these are the laws that God has placed in the universe that are just like the natural laws, like gravity, that never, ever change. The second thing I want you to write down is the formula to ensure God is first in your life. And we're just going to build a little acrostic this morning out of the word first. Put God first in your finances. Put God first in your finances. Malachi 3:10 and 11, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for you to store it. Now, why did God say, put him first in your finances? Here's the reason. This honors God, and if you put God first in your life, everything else will fall in place. So, if God is not first in your finances, God is not first in the rest of your life, period. God set the tithes as a sign that he's first in our life. Now, why did he say, give a tithe? Deuteronomy 14, 23, eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. What is the purpose of tithing? Put God first, but also it's a way in which we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We recognize he's the source of our heartbeat, our breath, our life, our very being, and everything that we have. When do we give the tithe? He says in 1 Corinthians that upon the first day of the week, We're to bring the tithe as God has prospered us. Why the first day of the week? Because that's the day we gather together to worship. Now, why did God tell them to do it on the first day of the week? Because the Bible says that we're to come together and worship as a church, and that's a part of our praise and worship to God. Well, we look here with your finances. Now listen, get debt-free as soon as you possibly can. Boy, with interest rates going up, it's not a real good time to be in debt. And after this bill that Congress has passed, Senate's passing this weekend, no telling what our inflation rates are going to be. Gasoline is not going down. Your groceries are not going down. You need to be debt-free. Listen, teach your children about finances. I've got a book right here. Dave Ramsey and his daughter Rachel Cruz. It's called Smart Money, Smart Kids. You need this to teach your children. And I've noticed with a couple of generations now, we got too many teenagers, and those that finish college are living on their parents' couches or in their basement without a J-O-B. Here's the book, 48 Days to the Work You Love by Dan Miller. The resources are out there, and what we need are parents that are not going to be the friends of their children, but we need parents that will be the parents of their children to teach them from a very young age about responsibility and the best way to handle money. When you look at this book by Ramsey and Cruz, they make a very good point. We've got so much technology now. A lot of people want the latest Apple iPhone. They don't care if a contract's up, whatever it is, they're going to go and pay in however many $1,000s it takes to get an upgrade on that phone. Listen, I've got a Droid. I've had it for about 6 years. I only know how to work the basics, and I'm doing fine. I ignore a lot of things. Apple has more technology than you and I have money. Do you understand that? I went to see a man who owned a golf pro shop several years ago in Augusta. It's called Bonaventure. And I went in there and I said, the older I get, the more distance I'm losing. And he looked at me, he said, that's just golf. He said, son, let me give you some good advice. He said, Ping, Cobra, and Callaway, and all the rest have more technology than you have money. So here's what you need to do. Get clubs that you're comfortable hitting and just keep them for your life. That makes a lot of sense. I like to drive our cars from 9 to 10 years. You know what's amazing? It's at that 10th year, I go look on a car lot and the price of automobiles have gone up. But you know what? When I do the math and I pay cash for an automobile and I drive it 10 or 12 years, I'm coming out pretty good. And all the time that I'm driving that debt-free car, I'm saving for that next car. It's amazing how all that works out. So when you drive by me with your Corvette, I'm not lusting. I can't get in and out of it anyway. So I don't need anything like that with that much horsepower. You'll meet some people that make $50,000 a year. They got an emergency fund and a retirement. And I meet people that make $150,000 a year, have no emergency fund, no retirement saved, and they're in debt up to their ears and their eyeballs. Listen carefully. The government is not coming to rescue you. They're going to take all the taxes out of the working people they possibly can and give it to those who won't work, and those who come to the country illegally. Listen, the government doesn't control what goes on with your money. You control what goes on with your money in your own house. Put first God in your finance. Second thing I want you to write down is interest. That means in everything you do, you need to put God first. Now, I hate to say this to you, but do you know that you can put God first in your golf game? I didn't say play golf on Sunday. You're not making any birdies anyway. You can put God first in your fishing. You can put God first in your swimming. Fastest growing sport in the nation is what? Pickleball. You can put God first in your pickleball. You can put God first in playing an instrument. You can put God first in your vacations. Now, how can you do this? You do this by saying, God, I'm so thankful that you give me one arm or two arms to play this game, or I've got two legs so I can play this game, or I've got family that I can vacation with and just have a great time. You see, the Bible says very simply that we're to give glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You got to have an attitude of gratitude. And this shows that God is first in your life because you recognize that all your blessings come from God. Now, here's something I never did. Are you thankful you can get an education? Now, I never did like school. I've got more degrees than my parents ever thought I'd have, and me too. But I never did go to class saying, praise God, I've got a test today. And it's a comprehensive test from everything we started learning from the beginning of the year. But you know what? We need to give thanks that we're in a nation where you can get an education. And then put God first in relationships. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. We need church family because church family is a part of communicating the kind of values to our children that we want them to have and pass them down to their children. But it all comes down to playmates and playpens. You can tell what kind of person an individual is by looking at the kind of people they hang out with. You want your children to hang with people with similar Bible-based values. You want them to hang around with kids who love Jesus. You want them with the same kind of commitment to God that you want your children to have. What kind of influences will mold and shape the lives of our children? It'll be those friends, it'll be those relationships that we as adults have, and we set up for our children as an example and something to model after. Now, moms and dads, you need to be very careful about marital conflict. Your kids do not need to grow up hearing you argue and scream and throw things at each other. You say, what do you want us to do, go to the yard? No, that's not what I said. There's a time and place for everything. I was reading about this man, true story. November of 2020, he was in Italy. And he and his wife got in one of those mad Italian fits with each other. I mean, they were having it out. And he had enough. He said, I got to go take a walk, cool off. So he walked out the door. He's missing for 7 days. Car was in the driveway. His wife filed a missing report on him. Missing persons. The police found him 260 miles away in another town. Police found him. They said, you all right? He said, well, I'm a little tired. I walked all 260 miles trying to cool off. And he said, I depended on other people to give me food and drink. We said, well, we're glad you're safe. So we got to take you back to the police station in your hometown here. His wife was so excited that they found him alive and well. But all of that changed. Her husband had been out 24/7 for 7 days and violated the COVID laws, and she had to pay $500 for him to come back home. I don't suggest a 260-mile cool down, but there are ways that you can work out your differences. The next thing I want you to write down is your schedule. Put God first in your schedule. Ephesians 5:16-17, making the most of every opportunity because the days of evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That means put God first in your schedule. Take enough time so that when you get up and before you go out with your schedule during the day, that you can get before God and pray, that you can get before God and that you can read the Word of God. I want to tell you something that happened to me the other day. It's amazing what God does if you just let Him be first in your day. There's a couple in our church. The husband was scheduled for surgery, serious surgery, But it kept getting postponed. And so one week I thought, I'm going to call them, and I forgot to call them all week. So then the next week I said, I got to call them. I forgot to call them. And I'd been praying for this couple that particular morning. So Tom and I went to Stanley's to eat. And while we were there behind the bars, now that's bars in the windows now, there's bars in the doors. Guess what happened? The couple I needed to call walked in line behind me. Now, was that an accident? No. God's been laying on your heart. You need to get in touch with these people. Find out when this surgery is going to happen. And let them know you're praying for them and you care about them. And so I just decided to buy their lunch. And then I wanted to know when the surgery was scheduled. And they told me about when it was going to be. And then it all got changed. But God put me and those people in the exact place we needed to be on that day. The Bible says that even Jesus went to a solitary place to pray to the Father. He was busy teaching. He was healing. But he needed to spend time with the Father. And we find ourselves torn apart by our schedule. There's some things in our schedule that God does not intend to be there. And so we need to carve out the time at the first of the day to get alone with him. And then the trials. Put God first in your trials. Notice Psalm 50 verse 15. And call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Put God first in your trials. You know, some people will say, Pastor, man, it's gotten so bad, I've had to start praying about it. I'm thinking, are you kidding? You should have been praying all along, because you know we're going to have the mountaintops and we're going to have the valleys. He's concerned about our hurts. He's concerned about our pain. He's concerned about your job. He's concerned about the inflation. He's concerned about the divorce you may have experienced and you've had to heal from that. He's concerned about your grief process. Your spouse has preceded you into heaven. He's concerned about your children. He's concerned about your pregnancy. He's concerned about the way you drive. He's concerned about everything, but we need to turn it over to him. God wants to be first in our trouble. Psalm 50, verse 15. Again, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Some people say, well, I don't pray every day. And then when I'm in a crisis, I don't pray. Just, I don't want to run to God just when I'm in trouble. Well, friend, that's not the kind of God he is. We can talk to God. We may not pray, but if we're in trouble, God wants you to come to him. And God wants you to know that he cares and that he answers prayer. One thing we've got to do is admit that we need him. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. The other thing we need to admit is this. Make sure that he is Lord of every area of your life. You know, I talk to some people, say, yeah, I got saved when I was 10 years old, but I've never been baptized. Well, why not? Baptism doesn't save you. It's just a symbol to everybody else. That's your real public profession of faith. You believe in death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. When I baptize people, I say that person's coming in obedience for believer's baptism. Why have you never been baptized? You know, when you get baptized, sometimes a person will approach you later, or one of our staff members or their Sunday school teacher, and say, tell me what that baptism meant. And we get an opportunity to share the gospel. God doesn't hold the sins of our past to our account. They're under the blood of Jesus if you're saved. Yes, we need to confess, 1 John 1:9, our sins after we're Christians, but he separates that as far as the east is from the west to the deepest, darkest part of the sea, never to be held to our account again. I can get excited about that. I was reading the other day about April 5th, 2021, the Baylor Bears beat Gonzaga Bulldogs, who were undefeated, to win NCAA National Championship. It was a dream of their coach, Coach Scott Drew. He was hired August the 22nd, 2003. And at that time, Baylor had one of the worst basketball programs in the nation. It was his dream to win a national championship, but things didn't go that well. Back in 2014, they lost 6 out of 8 games in a row by double digits. The last game there, Kansas beat them by 17 points. Everybody wanted the coach fired. They said he was a bad coach. He'd been there so long. Get rid of this guy. And here's what he did when he was walking off the court after he lost by 17 points to Kansas. He grabbed his chaplain of his basketball team, and here's what he said as people were booing him off the court. He said, "We may lose every game for the rest of the season, and I may be a bad coach. But if one of my players plays for me and he doesn't trust Jesus as his Savior, we'll be a failure." In less than a month, 5 of his players accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Here's a coach that was putting Christ and the salvation of his players ahead of a winning season. And 7 years later, they won the national championship. That's the kind of coach I'd want my son to play for. That's the kind of coach I'd want my daughter to play for. Because that is a coach that puts God first. And then I want to share with you about a fella who bought a piece of land real cheap. He's one of these contractors that was a speculator. He bought a piece of land that had been used as a trash dump for years and years. People come out there every week, throw out the trash. Bulldozers come by and smooth it out. So you know what he did with that. This happens so often. He bought that land cheap. In fact, he stole it. It was so cheap. And you know what he did? He brought in some fill dirt and he smoothed it out. And then he put in the gas lines and the power, curb and gutter, and paved the streets. Then he planted some trees and he built some of the most beautiful houses you have ever seen in your life. And you know what? People that didn't know any better came and bought those houses. And you know what happened? Within 5 years, the foundations were cracking. The sheetrock walls were cracking. Things were falling off the walls. And the houses began to sink because they were built on a garbage dump. If you build your house on the secular, ungodly trash that's promoted in our nation, your family is going to fail. But if you look at that acrostic about first, and you put God first in everything, let me tell you, he never, ever, ever breaks a promise. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When the storms come and the winds blow, and your kids are going off to college for the first time, and you're afraid they're going to make wrong choices, and you're just praying that God will put a hedge of protection around them. Listen, he says your house will stand the storms if you'll just build your house upon a rock. And some of you right now, in the sound of my voice, have got children that you raised in the faith, and they're not living for God, and they're not raising your grandchildren in the faith. But you gave them a God-first example. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Because if you raise them in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord, what does God say? Later on, what? They'll return to it. Do you believe that? Don't give up. We're the forks in the road, ladies and gentlemen. There's legislation that has already gone through Congress that's saying that if pastors stand and preach on a Bible-based male-female marriage only, and we say anything about these other, quote, lifestyles, we can be charged with hate crimes. It has already passed. Well, bless God. They just gonna have to come get me. Because we're the forks in the road. And I think it's one man and one woman That's the way we propagate. That's the way we run with marriage. And I've chosen my fork. As for me and my house, like the choir sang, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. You stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Simple message. Thank you for giving the commandments, the Ten Commandments that never expire. Thank you that your love for us never expires. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, listen, he lived a perfect life. He willingly allowed himself to be crucified, shed his blood to pay for your salvation and mine. He rose again the third day so that we're promised a place in heaven as well. But we've got to trust in him. We've got to ask him into our heart. If you're not sure how to do that, we're going to have people at front and after the service at the Connect desk and also the welcome desk in the Welcome Center to share with you. If you're here today, you've already been saved, you need to follow in obedience and believer's baptism. We invite you to come. If you're looking for a church home, you've prayed about it, God has led you, given you peace, you come here. Lord, I pray that you'll bless every home. Some are single mom homes. Some are single dad homes. And then we've got parents that are working as hard as they can to live a godly life before you. Help the children learn that God is a God of love, grace, mercy, holiness, but there's a judgment side too. So I pray you build a hedge of protection around the families that are part of this church. And may they be good examples to their neighbors, their co-workers, their fellow students, that Jesus truly makes a difference when you go by his instructions. Lord, this is the most important time in this service. As you speak into the hearts and the minds of those who made worship today a priority. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here today in the Family Life Center, Richard's coming forward with the praise band. He'll be up there for you to come. For some reason, you don't feel comfortable coming forward before a crowd. He'll be at the Connect desk in the back of the Family Life Center to meet with you about whatever decision or concern that you have. Here in the Worship Center, you can come forward. Mark starts to lead us in just a moment. And as you come forward, if you're uncomfortable coming forward, you just meet us at the welcome desk later on. And then if you are watching us on an electronic device and you need prayer or make a certain decision, maybe you need to accept Christ, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. And one of our staff members will get back with you just as soon as possible. So Mark's leading us now. Ted's joining me. You come.